I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. So for those of you, I mean, I know a lot of people who listen to this program on stations across the country. Some of you get 1 hour, some of you get three, some of you get hours that are mixed up. And so that's not something I control. That's something that the program directors control. And the thing that's interesting about that is that, you know, we do an hour-by-hour-by-hour show. And so some people miss out on some of the interesting stuff that goes on in different hours. But, you know, last night we did the show about, again, the movements of the South Atlantic anomaly, the earthquakes, and the situation happening with the UFO flaps in Argentina, and some other things that were very fascinating that we were talking about. But last night in our final hour of the show, we had to do something that we don't like doing because we plan shows out in advance, you know, during the day. And then, you know, we always say, though, that in talk radio, you have to be able to bend with the moments of the world. I mean, other talk shows, of course, will go on talking about pet whisperers or something, and we could have the world be on fire, and they'll still be talking about the same topic. But here at Ground Zero, we don't do that. We're able to, with a crew, we're able to change gears at the last minute if something breaking happens. So we immediately broke news about the shooting death of Michael Forrest Reynal, who's the man who was sought after by police in the execution of Patriot Prayer member Aaron J. Danielson. And it was quite ironic that we had to break away to report this incident, as my executive producer, Ron Patt, advised me that Reynal was appearing in a Vice interview where he all but confessed to the murder, only to claim that he killed him in self-defense, killed Aaron Danielson in self-defense. Although video at the scene shows that Aaron was shot after some unnamed men on the street were yelling that they had found two Trump supporters, and then shots rang out. Aaron was shot in the back after he takes a few steps, and then he falls to the pavement. I received the story within minutes after the New York Times dropped it, and within a few minutes, of course, we had comments from Joy Gibson of Patriot Prayer and one of Michael Reynolds' neighbors, saying that police fired a volley of bullets to take him down. Now, in the small amount of time we had on the air to announce his death, I had no way of reading or actually seeing in the media, or was I able to read the spin on the situation. All the news was dropping in our laps from the newsroom. We have a flagship station here, KXL, in Portland, Oregon, that is a news station that has a news organization that has that gets, you know, news as it happens. They're a CBS affiliate, and so they get the news as it happens. Now, I knew it couldn't wait for some reason, because I know Reynal's death upset me. It just did, about as much as Aaron Danielson's death. And I saw both of them as casualties of war, but I knew that the media would probably spin the news that Reynal's death would be some sort of martyrdom for Antifa, as he stated in other interviews that he was 100% in support of Antifa's tactics, and that he felt that he was in the middle of a war. And you look at the New York Times article today, and nearly every other article or op-ed, Reynal has been portrayed as a positive force of change in society. It seemed that no one or no news outlet I read or listened to described Reynal as an assassin or a cold-blooded murderer, even after he admitted that he shot and killed Aaron Danielson in the Vice interview that aired last night. He claims that he was acting in self-defense despite evidence to the contrary. And so those who get their news from mainstream media would come away believing that Reynal just wanted peace and goodwill towards men, right? It's some sanitized interview. Sure, a lot of people think that the police were wrong in gunning him down, and even Joy Gibson had, when he came on the program, said he had some reservations about what had happened. Michael Reynolds' sister, though, was relieved and also disappointed by her brother's death. She told the New York Post that she knew Her Antifa-supporting brother's death was not only a matter of time, but she was shocked to learn that it was the U.S. Marshals Task Force that killed him and not right-wing supporters. And it was obviously a contract out on him, according to his sister. Her sister was named April. But apparently it was the police that pumped numerous rounds of bullets in his body. His sister expects his death, actually she said to the New York Post, she expects his death will spur even more violence. You know, the media's attempts at sanctifying Reynold actually puts into question whether or not they are encouraging a civil war and that the first shots have already been fired in some Fort Sumter moment where two sides will fight it out in the streets and bring their violence into neighborhoods and other places, keeping people in America's cities on edge. Make no mistake, Reynold was a confessed revolutionary. He basically stated his intentions was to tear down the fabric of America's existence in order to rebuild it in a neo-Marxist image of the cause he embraced. He was 100% Antifa, he said, and he used a combination of violence and vitriol to make certain his vision for the future was achieved. In an Instagram post, this is what he wrote, and I quote, this is Reynold speaking, he said, quote, "Every revolution needs people that are willing and ready to fight. There are so many of us protesters that are just protesting without a clue of where that will lead. That's just the beginning. That's where the fight starts. If that's as far as you can take it, thank you for your participation, but please stand aside and support the ones that are willing to fight. I am 100% Antifa all the way. I'm willing to fight for my brothers and sisters, even if some of them are too ignorant to realize what Antifa truly stands for. We do not want violence, but we will not run from it either. If the police continue to pick on and beat up citizens, innocent citizens, that are peacefully voicing their objections, it must be met with equal force. We are currently living through a crucial point in humanity's evolution. We truly have an opportunity right now to fix everything, but it will be a fight like no other. It will be a war, and like all wars, there will be casualties." He goes on to say, "I was in the army and I hated it. I did not feel like fighting for them, whatever be a good cause. Today's protesters and Antifa are my brothers in arms. This is a cause to fight for. This is truly fighting for my country. I have children that need to live in a world run by common sense and human decency, and I will do anything to make sure that happens. Now is the time to change the course of humanity. If we fold now, just because they show some force, we'll be lost for another 100 years. And I don't think that the planet will let us live that long if we don't straighten expletive up. Please be safe, strong, and united. I love you all. Hashtag Antifa, hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag F the police." Now, even though the mainstream media is saying that he was former military, and even though in that last statement he said he was military, the New York Times story that I was reading says that they had contacted their contacts in the Army, and they were unable to find any records of Reynold ever serving in the military. But as a leader in the militant arms of the Antifa Black Lives Matter movements, that's about it. He often espoused the necessity for violent responses to law enforcement. And he demonstrated his willingness to kill for the cause when he shot Danielson. The Vice interview last night in the New York Times, they tried to delicately make Reynold look like a hero for the cause. And when it was obvious that he had a dark triad personality that we've been talking about, the whole narcissist, the whole Machiavellian psychopathy. It isn't just the media who's pushing the narrative that Reynold was a freedom fighter and a victim of the police. People claiming to be Antifa are busy making claims that he was unarmed and executed by police, with several viral posts trying to prop him up as a martyr who would have been apprehended peacefully had police not murdered him. But a witness who called our show said that he was armed and firing at law enforcement. We were told that he was in his car, and then he came out with a rifle and began firing at the police SUVs. We were told that there were at least 40 or 50 shots, and officers returned fire, hitting Reynold. It was reported that on Antifa message boards, Reynold's death was being called a police execution. An Antifa Twitter account called for the names of the officers involved in Reynold's shooting to be reported, using a pig emoji, enlisting a site where the names could be sent. Mainstream media is now painting a portrait of Michael Forrest Reynold as a righteous revolutionary, a freedom fighter who was executed by the police. And in my opinion, this should concern every American. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.